Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your continued interest in the Phoenix Mecano Group, and I'm pleased to welcome you to our webcast covering the group's business performance for the first half of 2026. For those of you joining us for the first time today, my name is Rocco Schobler. I am the CEO of the Phoenix Mecano Group, and with me today is René Scheffler, our CFO, who will present the figures for the first half year. Following our presentations, we will be happy to answer your questions, and you just heard how that works, orally or written. In the following minutes, we will provide an overview of our business performance and share our perspective on the opportunities and challenges we see for the rest of the year. Let me begin by highlighting the key developments of the first half of the year. Looking at that, we have seen a mixed picture. When we look at our two main growth areas, namely Industrial Solutions on the one side and Smart Furniture on the other. While some of our businesses continue to benefit from attractive long-term growth trends, others are facing macroeconomic and geopolitical challenges. The main message at group level is this one. In a market environment that remains demanding and at unpredictable times, our group has delivered a solid operational performance and a clearly improved operating result. We have proven resilience based on our solid business model and our balanced portfolio. Despite the impact of the war in the Middle East, which began to affect supply chains in the second quarter, the Phoenix Mecano Group achieved sales growth in the first 6 months. As anticipated, growth slowed noticeably after a strong first quarter, and as we communicated, Q1 should not be extrapolated for the full year. More importantly, profitability grew faster than sales, mainly driven by a significant increase in the operating result of the Industrial Components division. What is particularly important to me is that our performance did not come from pure short-term effects or from an isolated factor. Our strict focus on profitable activities in industrial niches with growth potential, in combination with our transformation from a pure component player towards a solution provider, this continues to pay off. In this way, we are benefiting from structural trends that are not temporary and yet little affected by the uncertainty or supply chain disruptions brought on by the war in the Middle East that I mentioned before. One concrete example is the structural demand generated by the megatrends of decarbonization and electrification. These trends are driving strong demand for our measuring technology business area, whose products are used in the modernization and expansion of power generation and distribution networks, as well as in the build-out of AI data centers. In this environment, we have successfully captured new business in the USA with product innovations specifically designed for data center applications. At the same time, I do not want to understate the challenges we are facing at the moment. We continue to operate in a world of fragile supply chains and geopolitical tensions. Our largest division, the Dewedorkin Technology Group, felt the impact of weak international furniture end markets, as well as cost increases for electric components and in logistics. Overall, Phoenix Mecano Group is demonstrating resilience, operational discipline, and a clear progress in profitability, even in a demanding and uncertain market environment. On divisional level, we see a mixed picture. Our industrial divisions are currently compensating for the weakness in the furniture market and are driving profitability. René Scheffler will now take a closer look on this divisional level and at the financial development of the group of the first half year. René, over to you.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, I will start with group results for the first half year and then give an overview on the division's performance. So we start with the consolidated results. Phoenix Mecano's consolidated sales, gross sales, rose by 2.3% to 389.2 million euro in the first half year. In local currency, sales were up 3.9%. In the enclosure system and industrial components division, sales increased thanks to the expansion of energy infrastructure and growing demand for electrical components. While DEWOT Okin Technology Group, DOT Group, recorded a slight decline in sales. Net sales totaled 383.4 million euro compared to previous year with 376.6 million. Incoming orders rose by 2% to 383.2 million euro. In local currency, they were up 3.7%. The book-to-bill ratio was 0.98 compared to 0.99 the previous year, indicating a steady development. The operating cash flow, EBITDA, increased by 15.5% from 32.8 million to 37.9 million euro, and the operating result, the EBIT, by 23.5% from 21.3 million to 26.3 million euro. All three business areas of Industrial Components Division made a significant contribution to the improvement of the results. Margin improvements in the Enclosure System Division had a positive impact as well. The result of the period increased at a lower rate of 2% to 14.7 million euro compared to 14.4 million in previous year. It was impacted by exchange rate losses resulting from the weaker US dollar and stronger Hungarian forint against euro. In total, net currency losses in the first half year amounted to 2.1 million euro compared to a net currency gain last year of 1.1 million. Then we come to the division performance, starting with enclosure systems. Sales in enclosure system division increased by 2.9% from 110 million euro to 113.1 million euro. In local currency, they were up 4.7%. The operating result rose from 15.2 to 16.9 million and the operating margin from 13.8 to 15%. In the second quarter, the division surpassed the positive earnings performance recorded in the first quarter. Thanks to appropriate inventory level and alternative supply routes, the division was able to continue supplying its customers in the Middle East region despite the Iran conflict. In the industrial enclosure segment, strong sales to major customers in the defense and measurement and control technology sectors drove the growth in sales and margins. The human machine interface business, HMI, was affected by the continued reluctance to invest in Germany's mechanical and plant engineering sector. By contrast, demand in the explosion protection business remained stable at the high level due to the positive momentum in the energy and chemical sectors, as well as infrastructure and modernization projects. Now we come to industrial components. Gross sales in industrial components division grew by 7.9% from 96 million to 103.6 million euro. In local currencies, the increase was 8.9%. The operating result rose from 2.4 to 8.5 million euro, and the operating margin therefore from 2.5% to 8.2%. This sharp improvement in results was driven by the dynamic development of the measuring technology business area at the beginning of the year, an improved capacity utilization in the technical components business area, and a more favorable cost structure in automation modules business area, despite demand in the latter failing to recover. In the measuring technology business area, project delays and weak demand from mechanical engineering and drive technology sectors resulted in a normalization of the very strong momentum we have seen at the start of the year. However, the underlying drivers for the first quarter remain intact. A new headquarter in Jülich, Germany, with capacity for up to 150 employees, provides space for further growth and strengthens the business area's position as a partner in the energy transition. Customers in the electrotechnical components business area are more optimistic about the future than they were a year ago, and have resumed placing long-term orders. There are currently no signs of this positive trend coming to an end shortly. A new production facility at the Beiersdorf site near Nuremberg enables more targeted product development and faster manufacturing processes. Then we focus on Divatokin Technology Group, DOT Group. DOT Group division sales saw a drop of 1.7% to 166.8 million. In local currency, mainly Chinese renminbi and US dollars, there was a minimal growth of 0.1%. The operating result fell from 5.6 million to 3.9 million. And the operating margin from 3.3% to 2.3%. Business performance of DOT Group was held back by weak international furniture markets and supply chain bottlenecks affecting electronic components, which also led to higher material costs. Cost structures both in Europe and in Asia were adjusted. However, these measures weighed on the result in the first half of the year, with one-off expenses of approximately 1.5 million euro. Further measures are under consideration to ensure a significant improvement in profitability in 2027. Second quarter results should have marked the lower end. So far, to the figures of the first half of the year. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, René. Let me quickly summarize this divisional picture for you. The DOT group still under top line pressure with profitability affected by weak end markets and higher input costs. Second, industrial components, the strongest growth momentum for the group, and a significant contribution to our profitability. And last but not least, enclosure systems with a solid growth and consistently high margins, supported by resilient demand in attractive niches. With this in mind, let us try to look ahead into the second half of 2026. The economic environment on our key markets is currently marked by the uncertainty caused by the war in the Middle East and by ever-changing U.S. trade tariffs. Despite these negative factors, the confidence of our industrial customers has been gradually improving over the last month, and they are now more willing to invest in new projects. In Germany especially, and we will see the new index coming out, ZEW, today, the government-backed investment initiative for infrastructure and economic modernization is also beginning to filter through into economic activity. Underneath this upswing in general business sentiments, our industrial activities keep benefiting from structural growth drivers. We mentioned it, the strongest momentum continues to come from areas where Phoenix-Mecano is well positioned, such as decarbonization, electrification, and industrial digitalization, from the industrial Internet of Things to physical AI and cyber-physical systems. Whatever terminology is used, these are not short-term cycle topics. They are long-term investment trends that require reliable technical components, customized solutions and engineering expertise, as well as customer relationships, close customer relationships, precisely where the Phoenix-Mecano business model locks in and where we are creating value for our customers. A different picture currently emerges on our Smart Furniture division, the DOT group, where end customer demand remains subdued as tariffs and inflation have driven up prices. Higher costs for raw materials, electronic components, and logistics continue to weigh on the profitability. Nevertheless, we expect conditions to improve during the remainder of the year, supported by the restructuring measures already implemented across our operations in Asia and Europe, and we remain committed to restoring a significantly stronger level of profitability at DOT in 2027 and stands ready to take additional measures should they become necessary. For the Phoenix-Mecano Group as a whole, we expect an improvement in the operating result compared with the previous year. We are not building this plan on strong cyclical rebound. We are building it on structural opportunities that we can catch and on strong operational execution in attractive niche markets. This was it from our side. And we went through the slides now with you. Give us a couple of minutes to join your Q&A list. And if you like, please pose your oral questions on the phone line as well.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from a question queue, you may press star and two. Questioners on the phone are requested to disable the loudspeaker mode and eventually turn off the volume from the webcast while asking a question. Webcast viewers may submit their questions in writing via the related field. In the interest of time, please limit yourself to three questions and place them one by one each, hence allowing the company to answer each question individually before posing the next question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from the line of Louis Billon from Bada Europe. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. My first question is about DOT. Why do you see the demand to remain weak in the second semester? And when do you expect a recovery, and what kind of feedback do you have from your customers? And maybe another question also on DOT. Can you quantify the restructuring charges booked in H1, and maybe what do you expect in terms of restructuring for the second semester?
Yes. It was from Louis. Thank you for the question, Louis. First part, these are many questions in a row. The restructuring cost as well as the outlook on the top line for the end of the year. And the effects that have slowed us down in growth currently, that are the increased cost, logistics cost, as well as the cost for electrical components and PC boards, they will not just disappear as long as geopolitical uncertainties are around and actually disrupting supply chains. So we will still face that. On top of that, for the DOT group relevant, are the tariff situations that are a moving target. However, it seems to be a moving target, but we have arranged us with these tariffs now. We have to arrange us with these tariffs now since they are staying. They just get new names, but at the bottom line, they're always staying. So these tariffs are also pushing end customers' prices higher. So on the one side, we have input costs that are slightly increasing, and we cannot just pass on these costs immediately. These contracts are longer than 3 weeks, 3 months in the DOT business. And on the other hand side, we have our customers that have to pay duties, not us, that have to pay tariffs, and that will, of course, increase end customer prices on top of the inflationary trends in the United States in our biggest end market. So the whole picture will most likely not just disappear and change immediately. That's why we assume that that growth level that we had in the last years, two digits, will not just come back. However, we are responding to that situation by product innovations, in digitalization, and by pushing our business model for the DOT as a one-stop shop further. To the cost of the restructuring, I would afterwards like to hand over to René. And then when René has answered the question, actually you have quantified it with 1.5 million, but please elaborate a little bit on that, René. And when you are finished, I would like to add on a question that came in written. Can you stay in this business unit? The question was, can you give us any news about the potential DOT IPO? Is that still your preferred option and still planned, despite the bad figures of a not as great performance right now in 27? And are you also evaluating a sale? I will answer this question after you have jumped in there with the restructuring cost you have just mentioned before.
Yes, regarding the one-offs in the first half year, I mentioned that briefly. It was roughly 1.5 million euro negatively affecting the result of DOT Group. These were measures taken both in Europe and in Asia, also to adapt some capacities. And we are, as mentioned, willing to take further measures in the second half of the year if needed, and to the extent needed to improve the business performance of DOT Group. At this point, it's not possible to quantify the further one-offs for the second half of the year. It depends on the development we will see in the next couple of months.
Thank you, René. Yes, let me add one thing here. Additional measures are under review. They include business as usual. We are of course taking on supplier negotiations. They remain ongoing, an ongoing priority. This is business as usual, particularly in the current environment of rising input costs. And we are also looking at further sharpening the focus on more profitable customer segments, and that we are assessing selective portfolio optimization measures. So it's very hard to become more concrete, and all this depends also on the development of the end markets. Thank you, René. And yes, the question I read out before about DOT IPO plan alternatives, like a sale, and what the figures have, if the figures have an impact on our plan. Well, let me begin there. The temporary weak performance does not change the strategic logic behind preparing DOT for an IPO. Huh? The strategic logic is much broader than the timing of the market. One important rationale is that DOT's growth, that I mentioned before, historically, has been financed largely from the Finnish Mekano's industrial activities cash flow. And an IPO would give DOT access to fresh risk capital, growth capital from the capital market to finance future growth more independently from us, while at the same time making the value of the business more visible as well. A separate capital market profile for DOT can also help to sharpen Phoenix Mecanos and DOT's equity story. And this is particularly important for DOT as it has its own market dynamics, its own investment requirements, its own growth drivers, growth opportunities, and growth rates in the smart furniture business. And yes, we have always seen us, the management team has overseen, and our board, the IPO should create us options, strategic options. Our IPO plan should not be understood as unconditional commitment to execute at a transaction at any price under any market conditions. No, we are creating this option to exit the DOT business, clearly, but only if it creates value for the Phoenix Mecano and its shareholders. However, and this is the part of the question this is aiming for, an IPO would not allow an immediate full exit. We would most likely remain a significant shareholder for a certain period of time due to customary lockup arrangements or market expectations and possible regulatory specific holding periods. The IPO preparation itself, therefore, more about creating strategic options and flexibility. And yes, this could also include a potential trade sale, which could offer a faster exit route if strategic or financial investors show serious interest. We will not rule this out, but would assess any such option. We would assess such option carefully in terms of valuation and execution certainty and shareholder value. And yes, at the same time, we are realistic about whatever investor, IPO or strategic investor, expects. A transaction to be credible, DOT must demonstrate a convincing path to higher profitability, more resilient margins, and sustainable cash generation. And this is why the measures that René mentioned, the improvement program, is central. The current performance makes this work more important, not less important. I hope this was the right answer to all of your questions, Louis and Mrs. Moravit.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone.
There is. Can I take another written one? Can you give us more details on the high performance on industrial components division, especially the part of the measuring technology in data centers? Yes, I can do that. I cannot. I can actually even quantify this business, and because it's in all investor calls, one of the hot topics lately, and most of my colleagues are not brave enough to tell that this is still a small plant that we have in front of us when we talk about data center applications. But even if it's a little bit less than 1% of our turnover, it has a high, high growth potential. And yes, the measuring technology is the biggest success driver of the industrial components division. And this success comes from a new current sensor for AI data center applications, which we brought into the market in the first quarter of this year. And yes, data centers are booming, but we are not simply riding this wave on demand passively. I would like to explicitly give credit to our measuring technology team, and I'm sure some of them are online. You have actively looked into applications with high margins and high growth rates, and you found it in this application area for AI data centers. This product you designed especially to measure current in data racks with AI chips, which usually use higher current than normal chips, and the sensors are integrated into power distribution units, where they help monitor and optimize uptime, utilization, and power consumption of the racks. They also enable accurate rack-level electricity billing, which is crucial, and they also give security to the supply of the AI data centers for their own current. Thanks to our manufacturing expertise and our international production network, we can offer customers clear advantages. Here, we produce these current sensors in India in large volumes and, of course, at competitive cost. As customers increasingly seek to reduce dependence on China for key components, our Indian production footprint has become a meaningful competitive advantage. And this is just one example of a new product for a specific application in the business area of measuring technology. Many of our MT products serve mission-critical applications, means high margins, where precision and reliability are essential. However, let me add one thing here. While measuring technology benefits most directly and immediately from these developments, I'd like to emphasize that our other industrial activities also participate in many of the same or similar growth trends. Our enclosure systems business unit, for example, provides highly engineered enclosures that protect electronics and sensors or provide control systems with human-machine interfaces in demanding industrial environments, such as in environments for hydrogen projects, for energy and infrastructure applications. Everywhere where reliable protection and explosion-safe operation is critical. So key takeaway, thank you for this great question. Key takeaway, these activities benefit from structural growth drivers that are less closely correlated to the overall industrial economic cycles. Again, less cyclical business. Yes, do we have oral questions as well? Otherwise, I jump to them. Oh, yes, please.
The next question over the phone comes from the line of Remo Rosenau from Helvetische Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. When we go back 1 year at DOT, we had the, the division was hurt by this tariff situation in the second quarter. Then I think you mentioned that customers of DOT would try to solve the problem by reallocating their assemblies to other countries in part in the Southeast Asian region. And that they, this process will be finished by the end of 25. Hopefully, then the tariff situation changed many times again thereafter. How is this situation at the end of the day, you know, worked out? And is that also a reason why your logistic costs have gone up quite significantly?
Thank you. Remo Rosenau. Yes, I tried to convey this message before that the tariffs are a moving target since they are going up and not so much up and down. They are just being replaced with other names, but they are moving from one country to the next. On the other hand, we have established our organization to be very flexible to answer these challenges. And for our customers, and this is the perspective we have to take on, for our customers, this is a big hurdle to export and to bring their products in their end markets. Since every time when a tariff changes or the level of a tariff changes from one country to the next, they have to do the math. And this is when our customers continuously review and adjust their own supply chains. And this is precisely where DOT has an important competitive advantage. Our flexible global production network allows us to shift volumes and manufacturing processes faster than all of our customers can reorganize their own footprint. If a customer decides to ship volume, to shift volume from China to Vietnam, a concrete example, they take 12 months. So they cannot do this decision every year. They can do it only if a tariff really changes fast and for longer. And us, ourselves, we can transfer a line with the same productivity level within 3 months, so much faster than customers. But customers, and that's the problem here, cannot make a decision to invest and to shift volume if it costs them more than 1 or 2, let's say maximum 3 years of payback, because they know the tariff they just took as a basis for their relocation of volumes will not stay as long as they can pay it off. So, that said, I said that the same, we can transfer the same level of productivity. That's all correct. But of course, it would be even better for us to have everything in one factory at the end. Cost-wise, resilience does come at a cost. Additional redundancy, regional alternatives, and selective reserves, they create complexity and burden margins. However, I want to emphasize, they also strengthen DOT's reliability as a partner for international positioned furniture manufacturers. And strategically, is DOT, again, is not only waiting there until tariffs go by and until customers have settled their footprint. We are also changing our products through product innovation. And we are consistently increasing our vertical integration and focused on more intelligent system solutions, smarter solutions. So the long-term growth drivers, they remain attractive, especially the demographic change, the digitalization of comfort furniture into smart furniture with home connectivity. And I would not like to forget to mention that we have better positions than our competitors. And DOT holds globally leading positions in the main areas of recliners and seating applications, as well as comfort bedding. And other advantages, I would not like to elaborate more on this, but we can talk about it offline once. Other advantages is the business model, the one-stop shop business model, where DOT has the only provider of actuator systems, offers combined systems with drive systems, mechanics, kinematics, controls, remote controls, control boxes, sensors, electronics, digital interfaces for smart home environments. I hope, Remo, this was a good answer to your question, how the outlook looks like. But again, I would like to emphasize, against this background, we have already adjusted the cost structures in Europe and Asia, what René elaborated on. They have also hit the current result, but my message is we are addressing the short-term challenges directly. We are addressing them immediately, and the long-term trends are still intact.
Okay, thank you for that. And going back once more to the potential IPO in 27, I mean, this really only makes sense when the numbers would improve significantly next year, right? I mean, in order to receive a sensible valuation for this partly IPO, right? I mean, if the numbers do not improve in a significant way, it doesn't make really sense to do it next year already, right?
Absolutely. I said it. We will do it if we can create shareholder value and value for the Friedrich Megane Group. This is not a must, but it is our plan.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Louis Billon from Baader Europe. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my follow-up. Can you just give us more details on the changes in personnel in DOT group, because the ownership of minority interest has dropped. So is this related to voluntary departure, or is it linked to a change in strategy, and how many people were involved?
Thank you for that question, Louis. Sharp eye, good catch. I would not like to comment on the details of personnel changes, HR matters, but this is normal situation that has happened. And since we have more than 60 people participating in this easy program, the employee share holding program, there is always an effect on that shareholding ratio. And amongst others, yes, there has been a C-level person leading us, and that is perhaps the biggest impact I would like to highlight here as a normal fluctuation as well, but of course a remarkable one. And this, I think, Rene, you will correct me if I would be wrong, but this is the biggest impact we have seen, the C-level departure, and then others that have left the company and be as participants through the EASY program. Is that okay for you, Louis?
And should we understand that there is a change in the strategy of this division, or?
No, not at all. Not at all. Exactly the same strategy, and this has no effect on our strategic plan and creating the options that I mentioned before. Is a pure personnel effect that you see here in the participation program.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Dr. Rojos Kubla for any closing remarks.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for all your questions. And thank you for your time, your attention today. I would like to briefly recap. We have discussed our performance over the first half of the year. And let me take away 3 points for you. First, Phoenix Mecano has made clear operational progress in the first half of 2026. We have improved profitability and demonstrated resilience in a difficult environment. Second, we know exactly where the challenges are, particularly at DOT, and we are addressing them directly, hands on. Third, our strategic direction is clear, and our outlook remains positive. We will continue to focus on profitability and cash flow generation, supported by a currently healthy level of order intake. These are the three takeaways I would like to give you. And as always, we appreciate your continued support and trust. And if you have any further questions or would like to follow up on any of today's discussions, please don't hesitate to reach out to our investor relations team. Looking forward to speaking with you soon again, and some of you I will see on the roadshow. Have a great day.